God's word for you, Mark 16, verse 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining to eat. He rebuked them for their unbelief and their stubbornness, since they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. This probably happened on Easter Sunday evening, or else a week later, when Thomas rejoined the other. Mark draws attention to the apostles as an important example of those who reacted to the Lord's resurrection by saying the 11 themselves, using the intensive pronoun, just as he did when he said Herod himself in Mark 16 and other places. Just as when they had eaten other meals, such as in the home of Simon the leper in Mark 14:3 and the Last Supper in Mark 14:18, they were reclining. Now, this was the usual posture for eating the evening meal, although, just as in our culture, they might not even sit down if they were just grabbing a quick bite, as we see in Luke 6, verse 1. But it was then, during the meal, that Jesus appeared to them. And this is an important point, that they were not napping or sleeping, so that one of them waking from a dream might have convinced the others that they had all seen the same vision. No, right when everyone would be wide awake and paying attention, that is, at mealtime, Jesus was suddenly with them and he spoke to them. Mark tells us that one of the things he said was a rebuke about their unbelief. We are warned. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That's Hebrews 3:12. For what is the account of Lot's wife to us except a pillar of salt standing as a monument to an unbelieving soul? Now, before we continue with our Lord's message, it might help to draw back out of Mark's account and look at the general message of each gospel at this point. While it has been my intention to take Mark's gospel by itself throughout this study, here it'll help us to see what each of the gospels says about Jesus' first meeting or meetings with his apostles after the resurrection. First, Matthew 28, verses 16 and following, after describing Jesus' encounter with the women at the tomb, Matthew describes the report made by the guards about the empty tomb. And from there, he says nothing else about Easter Sunday, but only reports the meeting of Jesus with the apostles in Galilee. That's Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Then the verse before us, Mark 16, 14. In Mark's account, Jesus preaches the law to his disciples on account of their unbelief. The evangelist then takes us to Galilee for a brief account of the Great Commission. That'll be verses 15 to 18. And then back to the Mount of Olives for the Ascension in verses 19 and 20 at the end of the book. Luke, in Luke 24, 33 to 49, Luke's account carries the story of the Emmaus disciples into the room with the apostles on Easter evening. Jesus had already appeared to Simon Peter, that's Luke 24, 34, and suddenly Jesus appeared with them in the locked room. His words include the rebuke and then an invitation to believe and the proof of the nail prints in his hands and feet. And furthermore, Jesus ate a piece of fish to show that he has both body and soul and was not merely a spirit. This is still in that room with the apostles, Luke 24, 42. And this is followed by other encouraging words, verses 43 to 49. And finally, John 20, verses 19 to 29. John recalls the story of Thomas and his doubt and includes the giving of the keys of forgiveness to the whole Christian church, John 20, verses 21 to 23, and the chapter that follows is John's account of the Galilean appearances of Jesus. Now, the very first thing Jesus says in Mark is this: the time has come and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, at this end of the gospel, returning from the dead, Jesus once again calls his disciples to repentance. And the whole matter of doubt had to be addressed. The risen Jesus could not just ignore their apprehension, since dropping the matter could easily mean that some of them would not drop their doubts. God does not want us to doubt or stubbornly refuse to believe in him. And the early Christian fathers addressed the problem of doubt many times. Often they Call it unbelief or stubbornness. Do not be stubborn, says the Didache. And in the book of Barnabas, or the letter of Barnabas, we have, I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who refuse my righteous way. That's Barnabas 12:4. Then in 2 Clement, an early letter, one of the earliest letters, we have verses like these. If we do not serve him because we do not want or do not believe the promise of God, we will be miserable. And in the same letter, we read, they will say, woe to us, it was you and we didn't know it, and we did not believe. We did not believe the elders when they told us about our salvation. That's 2 Clement 17:5. The earlier one was 2 Clement 11:1. And also the worst dangers in the hearts of Christians are described this way. The first, that is the worst, is unbelief. The second is self-indulgence. The third is disobedience. And the fourth is deceit. That's from the Shepherd of Hermas in the ninth similitude, or sort of parable. In these ways and more, the ancient pastors and preachers called their people to put an end to doubt and unbelief and to recognize the truth of the Scriptures. Unbelief is a mortal danger, for Jesus is about to say, whoever does not believe will be damned. But there is more to repentance than pointing out or confessing sin or doubt. The Lord also holds out the gospel of forgiveness, and he calls us back to him. Jeremiah had prophesied, return, unfaithful people, I will heal your infidelity. Yes, we will come to you, for you are the Lord our God. That's Jeremiah 3:22. And Luther explains, repentance and forgiveness are to be joined together. Repentance without forgiveness has no value. And, on the other hand, forgiveness without a recognition of sin is weak, which is why Christ says, preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. That's from Luther's works, one of the new volumes, volume 56. Take heart, or take to heart what Jesus invites us to do here. Believe those who had seen him after he had risen. It is not the testimony of the empty tomb that is the most important witness, but the words of the witnesses who saw the risen Christ. They are to be believed. Mary, the other women, the Emmaus disciples, and now the 11 apostles too, Peter, James, and the 500 brothers that Paul mentions, are also part of this cloud of witnesses. Believe them. They saw him, and their testimony is true. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.